First, some news about the bat population. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced yesterday that white nose syndrome has spread to 8 counties across the state.
The fungus that causes white nose syndrome has been decimating bat populations in various parts of the country.
A decline in the bat population could have adverse effects on many aspects of life in Wisconsin, including the environment, human health, and even the economy.
With us now to provide more details is DNR conservation biologist Jennifer Riddell. Jennifer, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, start us off, please, by sharing these new findings. Where are we starting to see this disease in the state?
Well, unfortunately, as you mentioned, at the conclusion now of our winter surveillance activities looking for the disease, at 75 different locations across Wisconsin, we've found it present in 14 different cave and mine locations spread across 8 counties. So we found the disease itself in Grant, Crawford, Richland, Dane, and Door counties. And then we found the fungus that causes white nose syndrome in caves and mines in Iowa, Dodge, and Lafayette counties.
And in the survey, I understand you returned to a site in Grant County, which was the first place the disease was detected last year. What did you find revisiting that site?
Correct. So our initial site of discovery of infection in the state was a mine in Grant County that we have multiple years of data for, and we've got about 1,000 bats at that site. We noticed a 70% decline in that population in between last winter when the disease was first detected and this winter when we revisited.
And forgive me if I'm stating the obvious, but that huge decline in bat population that site, was that, do you believe, because of white nose syndrome?
It is. And what we noticed when we went to that site is that not only were many of the bats missing altogether, but the remaining bats, the majority of them had fungus, visible fungus on them.
Now, this is something that has been alarming to see coming in Wisconsin. How devastating has this white nose syndrome been in other parts of the country?
Sure. The disease arrived in New York State in 2006 and 2007 and really, you know, began decimating individual cave and mine populations at that time and rapidly spread. It's now in 26 states and 5 Canadian provinces. And in 2012, approximately 6 million bats had been killed by the disease. Those numbers are obviously a few years old at this point, and with the rapid spread of the disease, we can assume it's been many more bats than just those initial 6 million. So what we see is a 90% overall decline in individual affected cave and mine populations.
Talking to Jennifer Riddell from the DNR. She's a conservation biologist looking at the announcement that white nose syndrome is present now in 8 counties. Previously, it had been 4. This is new information after the DNR winter surveys. Let's talk about the cascade effect, Jennifer. If we're seeing a big drop in bat populations in the state, what are the consequences of that?
Well, the important thing for folks to understand is that these cave and mine hibernation sites.
Jennifer, are you still there? We'll try to reconnect with Jennifer Riddell from the DNR as we talk about white nose syndrome in Wisconsin. Previously present in 4 counties in the state, new info just out says now it's 8 counties. A lot of biologists had feared, the disease seems to be spreading to bat populations after doing lots of damage in the eastern part of the United States. When we get her back on the line, we'll talk some more about what the consequences of this disease and a potential die-off of bat populations would be. And Jennifer, do we have you back on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry we lost you there, but you were going to tell us the consequences of losing a big part of the state's bat population.
Yeah, we know that bats are valuable and that they gather in large numbers in cave and mine hibernation sites during the winter. So if one cave or mine population is decimated, those bats would normally be spreading out across hundreds or thousands of square miles on the summer landscape where they forage for insects. And those insects include not just human health pests like mosquitoes, but also agriculture and forestry pests. And we know that the value of bats to Wisconsin agriculture is $158 million to $1.6 billion each year. That would be the cost of the pesticides needed to control the insects that bats are consuming. And so we obviously anticipate, an impact. We can't say precisely what that will be or how it could be measured, but losing bats certainly changes things.
Now, I know we have more than one bat species in the state. Does this disease target just one of those species or all of them?
Yeah, we have 7 species of bats in Wisconsin. 3 of them are migratory species, and what we're seeing is that the migratory species are not affected by white-nose syndrome, but the hibernating species that rely on caves and mines in order to survive the winter are the ones affected. And so we have 4 of those, the big brown bat, little brown bat, the 2 most common species in North America, and also the eastern pipistrel and the northern long-eared bat.
So are these hibernating sites, the caves and mines, the place where this infection spreads?
Yeah, the disease is caused by a fungus that's a psychrophilic or a cold-loving fungus. The bats rely on these cold, dark, humid hibernation sites in order to conserve their fat reserves. There's no insect material available for them to prey on in the winter months, and so they seek out caves and mines, and that happens to be the environment that the fungus thrives in.
Well, I guess the big question is there anything that humans can do to make a difference, to slow, reverse maybe this spread?
Sure. You know, right now on our end, we're working to research the disease and try to come up with management solutions. And what we want folks to do is to continue to participate in bat conservation as we're working on a solution on the science end of things. So out on the landscape and at people's homes, they can continue to provide habitat for bats by putting up bat houses and taking care of the environment, providing clean water sources. And then also giving us time for research to catch up, and that means not being involved in the spread of the disease. So folks that are visiting caves and mines need to be particularly aware that they could potentially move the disease farther than the bats can spread it naturally. So we have decontamination protocols in place for both biologists and cavers who visit caves frequently, and then for the general public who are occasionally taking cave and mine tours, sites where they're visiting have specific protocols in place, and they should be contacting those tour locations to see what they need to do to prevent the spread of the disease.
Is there an online resource for cavers to find out what they should do before making that visit?
Correct. So in the state of Wisconsin, we do have some specific rules particular to cavers and caves in Wisconsin. And if you visit the DNR website and just search bats, you can link to the decontamination protocol.
I know over the next few months, for at least one or two of the species, it's going to be baby bat time, and people may be getting a glimpse of bats, you know, living in their houses, getting inside the houses. Because of the current conditions, this concern, are there recommendations or even guidelines on what people should do to deal with the bats in their houses to make sure they're not reducing the bat population further?
Absolutely. You know, this is a time of the year when mother bats are gathering in maternity colonies from June 1st to approximately mid-August, and that's when mother bats are giving birth to the pups and nursing those pups until they're old enough to fly. And the thing to remember is that the pups can't leave the maternity site before they can fly. So even though bats may leave the house in the evening, some pups are left inside. And for folks who would like to get bats out of their attic that may have them, we have a non-exclusion period going on during this maternity time. Unless there's a human health concern where bats are routinely entering the living space and that exclusion needs to happen because of a human health risk. But of course, when bats occasionally make their way into homes and buildings, the best thing is to do is open a window and let that bat find its way out. Or of course, wear heavy gloves, have an adult either remove the bat to a safe place outside, or better yet, put a box over the bat, slide something underneath that box, and carefully transport the bat out of the building.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Jennifer Riddell, DNR conservation biologist specializing in bats, talking about the advance of white-nose syndrome in Wisconsin's bat populations.